Wellington's playing host to one of the city's most important arts events this year, the Contemporary Indigenous Arts Festival, Kia Mo. It's grown from its enthusiastic but smaller-scale beginnings 8 years ago to an extraordinary collection of Indigenous talent from all round the Pacific Rim. Aotearoa New Zealand, of course, but also Samoa, Tonga, Malaysia, Cambodia, Canada, even Africa. Well, I'm joined by the founders of the Kia Mo Festival, two of this country's most distinguished and talented creatives, playwright Honey Coker and poet, producer and filmmaker Miriam George. Hi, both of you.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Honey, I mean, if we can go back to the festival's beginnings, it wasn't even called Kia Mo at that stage, was it?
No, it was called Ahikar, and the real beginnings of the festival were actually from the writing festival that Media led, the Matarihi Development Festival.
Oh, right.
And that was basically us identifying, oh, we wanted to get more Māori Pacific scripts together. And then what we added with the writing festival was a major production. And then all of a sudden, you had lots and lots of people wanting to be around Wellington and the area. And I kind of went, oh, okay, we've developed scripts. We actually created the Putahi Festival, which was a development festival. And then obviously the next element, which was pretty natural from there, was actually a full-blown festival with productions and everything like that. So that's where Ahikar came from in 2015.
But exclusively theatre, basically. That was the driving thing?
Oh, theatre and dance. Yeah. Mm. And the key reason for that is that that's our background.
Right.
Yeah. And also, for me, they were always the art forms that are dropped first at any arts festival because they're resource-heavy and they're people-heavy.
Yeah, no, that's
so
right.
So for me, I went, okay, we're going to dig deep with these and whatever platform we create to make sure that they don't get pushed away or anything like that as well. So that's the reasoning that probably for the first four times, was it Media? Yeah, that we went just theatre and dance, theatre and dance. And I knew eventually we would have visual arts and music as well, but just wanted to ensure, and for our practitioners, to get more and more Māori Pacific or Indigenous works on the main stages here in Wellington.
I know that this is one of the things that was really driving you in some respects, to have something that was artist-centred. It was far more important for you to have an artist-centred than a thing that looked like a nice festival or something. I mean, I was interested also, Ahikar is just one of those phrases that I've heard so long in this building that I never really knew what it actually meant. It means burning fires, doesn't it? This kind of passion. But you've changed it to something a little bit more user-friendly as far as audiences are concerned. Tell us what Kia Mo means.
Oh, it's just to stand firm. You know, with most haka, probably the most famous one, kamate, you know, it's part of it as well. So it's a term that's, the festival was named by Hune Hurahanga Nui, who also gifted us a waiata and haka to go with it too. And it was just conversations with him. And look, one of the reasons we looked at Ahikar is it's a term that's used so often as well. We still have held on to that with our digital platform, and Media's created the Ahikar artists' profiles, I suppose. But that's where that came from, and it's just kind of stuck, yeah.
Yeah, Ahikar, keep the house warm.
Yeah,
right.
Keep the house
warm. You know, with our Māori or te ao Pacifica, our kupu have so many interpretations, but for us, Ahikar is to keep the house warm, the home fires are burning, that there is always someone to return to.
Mm.
And that's why I think it was important for us to make a statement in that first year.
Absolutely.
To say that the home fires are burning here in Te Whanganui Ātara for our theatre and dance makers, and then soon evolved into Kia Mo, that we're ready to grow, we're ready to hold fast. Look out, world.
Well, I mean, did you know that it was going to take off as much as it has? Because it clearly has, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're on the world map, in a sense, because there are now a lot of these festivals all around, particularly the Pacific Rim. This festival is very much part of that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think in 2015 when we started, Aotearoa really didn't have any major Indigenous or Māori-led platforms.
Right.
Contemporary, I'm talking about. There's Matatine, obviously.
Sure.
From 2015 onwards, now you have Te Tai Rafiti Festival in Tūranga over in Gisborne. You have Aronui Festival in Rotorua, which is still burgeoning, coming through. And Whao Festival, which is a real Māori theatre festival in Christchurch.
Now, are these all theatre-based things, or are they across the board? Because I was looking down a lot of the things that you're presenting this year, And it's very hard to sort of say that's specifically theatre, that's dance, that's music.
Wonderful.
That seems to be a very Maori thing, you know, the idea that, you know, why should we just do one thing? We've got all these other sort of strings to
I would say that's what happens when it's an artist-led festival.
Yeah,
right.
It's a very creative thing. Yeah. Is that I think that the binary descriptions fall away.
Right, absolutely.
And the act of creativity can transcend many, many forms. And so that's our space. That's the difference with an artist-led festival.
Yeah. The other festivals that are around at the moment, I was reading up about these. One of them is one in Melbourne. This is Yeramboy, which is a big deal one. The Hawaii, obviously, is a centre of that. Vancouver has a thing called Talking Stick, which
absolutely.
I think is fantastic.
We've been to Talking Stick and the wonderful Margot Kane, who leads Talking Stick. So many of these festivals have existed for decades. And the wonderful thing about this time is that we're all connecting.
Mm. And is that a thing now? I mean, that's this sort of, as you say, a big connection between all these different festivals, feeding on each other and learning from each other.
Yeah, I mean, one of the key elements for me is, you know, I basically look at Kia Mau and Wellington becomes the global centre of contemporary Indigenous performance.
Well, I was going to ask you that too. Why Wellington?
For me personally, this is a city that built me as an artist.
Right.
So it's my way of paying back the city. And it is a city built for festivals.
We do love festivals here in Wellington, don't we? And there are so many now. But this thing seems to be a little special.
Yeah.
This seems to be a very specific artist-led festival. And I'd like to have a look at some of the events that are happening this time round. I was looking at some of the theatre things to start with, purely theatre things, and there's a big programme I noticed at Bats Theatre, Miri. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the ones that are on there?
Bats season of Kia Mau is always very special to us. It often features a lot of our emerging artists.
Right.
It also features artists who are experimenting. It's an important space for Kia Mau. I think this year we have the wonderful, multi-talented Rion Bell, who is one of our emerging actors, but also a wonderful composer, a DJ on the decks, a music producer, and who is working across three different shows this festival year. So Rion is incredibly busy working with Sean Rivera and creating concerning the UFO sighting in Mount Roskill, Auckland. I took a big breath on that one. It's the longest title.
That is pretty close. You know, I've got it written in front of me.
Yes.
That's pretty good. You know, and I was good in a way too also because it points out what contemporary Indigenous art means now. It's
whatever we want.
Could be
And that's also why there are certain Indigenous artists globally I bring over.
Right.
So, you know, in 2019, we brought over Lara Kramer, and she's coming again with a show called Them Voices. And I wanted her to be here specifically for our young artists to see it. She's, you know, really experimental. She's Montreal-based, so French-Canadian but Indigenous. So her take on it is, I knew she would come and it would polarise audiences, and it did beautifully. But then I heard old school Wellington going, we used to have a lot of work like this, but we don't anymore. You know, and not Indigenous, I mean super experimental is what I'm talking about.
I think that's the thing that, I mean, Wellington, I wouldn't say it's the most. I mean, I'm sure that there are a number of other cities in New Zealand that do this, but we are fringe friendly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the madder, the better in respects.
Yeah.
You know, there's an interesting one. We've had Nadia Freeman misleading on our show last year, and she's got a show called Coolie, which is basically addressing Fiji, basically, as much as anything, isn't it? And her background there, where they got rid of slave labour and replaced it with something that was so close to slave labour you could barely tell the difference.
We hosted Nadia and 221,
that's
I think
right.
it was.
Oh,
with she'd really not done a lot of work here in Aotearoa. And so it was a good friend of ours, Karanen Saba, amazing contemporary composer and musician himself. And, just kind of went with that. And then, you know, I saw Nadia again and went, what have you got? And she goes, I've got the show I did for the Aotearoa New Zealand Festival. I went, oh, no, nah. Like, that's cool. What are you thinking? And the idea for this piece, Coolie, was a little lower down on the list. And I went, that one. that one there.
Absolutely.
And a beautiful risk for her in regards to community. But you see the community has come towards it really, really quickly. And, yeah, it's looking like her season's going to sell out before it opens type thing. And it really tells you that these stories that they want to be told, communities want to hear them as well. And that's another reason, like, media describe bats, you know. I've had a few senior people from other festivals go, why do you have that? And I'm going, the young ones are our engine. They're the ones who drive this whole thing. And it's quite easy to go, oh, let's have the finished shiny shows like most other festivals, and that's fine. But for us, actually, because it's artist-driven, it's the young ones who have that energy, that want the new ideas and everything else like that, and why we really want to, you know, keep having them there. And
so the stuff that people are going to be talking about in 2 or 3 years,
you got it. And these, yeah. And they'll be more mature, they'll be trying things out and everything like that. And I love it that a lot of the young ones go, oh, Matua, I love our festival, you know, and going,
oh,
cool,
no,
it's
fantastic.
Ours. Yeah,
I mean, you know, the big ticket this year, probably, and I was surprised to see this is the famous Haka Party play. This is a play that's been around the country, but it hasn't come to Wellington before.
No, they tried. I think they tried 4 times.
COVID.
COVID.
This is Katie Wolfe's play about a famous event that happened in the
Auckland University.
Was it Auckland University?
Yeah, engineering students in Auckland University.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's a really important piece. You know, we were lucky enough to see the premiere in Auckland.
Oh right.
And having a lot of people who were actually there. From
what
the engineers.
What was that like?
Oh, it was great. You know, to be very honest, I felt it was more for those Pākehā engineers than for the Māori there. Cause
you already knew.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of those people, you know, they were activists, and I love that word, you know, because we activate things constantly all the time as artists.
For sure.
You know, and having them there. And so it was interesting to see that point of view. Great, beautiful piece of theatre. It's selling really well, you know, and that's one of the things that I went, oh, great, there's a real want for it. You know?
I think it's turned into Foreskin's Lament in some respect.
I get what you mean.
That was another thing that was really shocking when it first turned up, and then suddenly it's become this well-loved piece of theatre, you know.
I think as a verbatim piece of theatre, as a documentary-style piece of theatre, that the Haka Party incident itself is still so relevant now, that these incidents still take place every day, whether it's in real life, whether we hear it across our media in Aotearoa, and we have this wonderful opportunity to keep ensuring that there's as much remembrance and learning from our history that we can then enact in every day.
I was looking at some of the music that's featuring this year, and there is music. There's a lot of multicultural sort of bands turning up there from all over the place.
Yeah. As I said, there was going to be visual arts and music.
Sure.
And so for us, having Jamie Berry, a local visual arts artist, curating and leading the visual arts, and most of the artists have got are Wellington-based and everything like that. But it's just a natural progression, and music as well, you know. And it's been great having those, for me, going, oh, that's right, you visual artists are way different animals from theatre people or dance crews. Right. And the musicians, where are they? Oh, we're always chasing them, you know, type thing. And I love that sort of thing too. And it just really embodies our art scene. You know, yes, it's Indigenous, yes, it's Māori and Pacifica, but it's our art scene, and it's just new works, established works and everything like that too.
I was going to ask, you know, what was more important, where was the balance between contemporary art and traditional Indigenous, but you've sort of answered it, I think, over the last 10 minutes. It's a bit of both, but it's mostly contemporary.
Absolutely, absolutely.
New and exciting.
Yeah, and that's one of the things for me too, that there's no one way to be Indigenous.
Right.
There's no one way to be Māori or Pacifica as well. Mm. And I think that's what's really ignited our young artists. And our audience is really young who come to this because they're seeing themselves where they've never seen themselves before.
Oh, that's
you
fantastic.
Know, we have media is building a show from the ground up for the Michael Fowler Centre, you know, of Cook Island String Bands.
I would love the idea of that. And I was hearing, well, tell me a bit about that, Maria.
You should come along, Simon. I'm telling you, you've still got time. Saturday, June 10, we're building a Waikinui social, which features some of our master musicians, Whaipoto, Āporo, Pānia Āporo, Tupo Āporo, from the days of our string bands, born into the strings they were, as they say, and then when some went electric, others stayed acoustic on the ukuleles before going on to electric guitars. But we have four bands playing across the night, and then because of my background, we are weaving in theatre scenes amongst it. Oh. We have a beautiful storyteller, a takitua, coming in from Auckland to Aratanira to hold the night together for us. But we have the Cabin Bread Boys, a ukulele string band, four-piece, who will be showcasing that triple strum that the Cook Islanders do so well.
They do.
And we have Jerome, one of our next-generation artists, joining us, who has fused the ukulele with the drum machine, with the keyboard. So it's a real journey that weaves our drums to our ukes, to the electrics, electric guitars, keyboards, drum machines. We also have Arija.
Oh, yeah, you got Arija.
Joining us.
Oh,
yeah,
I loved Arija.
So it's just going to be so much fun. I bring your dancing shoes, Simon.
I absolutely will. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Though it was quite interesting when I was talking to somebody else about that particular show, and they made the big point about the fact that these musicians came from 15 different islands.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, I always think of Cook Islands as being Rarotonga, you know.
Don't say that around any Cook Islander, is all I could tell you. Yeah, there's such, like any nation, like any people, it's a very diverse community, and we get to take over the Michael Fowler Centre.
Oh, fantastic.
I can't wait.
There's another one that I was very interested in. There's a couple called I Can Sew. Now, who, what?
I Can Sew Productions is from Te Whanganui Ātara, Wellington, also Timberley. Upper Heart, a Samoan Cambodian production company that can only be born of this city, led by Natano Kenny and Sarita So. I Can Sew Productions are presenting O Le Pepelo, Le Ngaui, Ma Le Palaai, or The Liar, the Thief, and the Coward. This beautiful epic that has been co-written by a husband and wife duo, co-writers, also director and producer. Co-producers, they have an epic cast of 10 that includes Simu Filippo, Fiona Collins, our wonderful Mayava Nathaniel Lees is co-directing. It's just going to be something incredibly special at Circa Theatre in the final week of Kiamo Festival.
I mustn't forget the hip-hop musical. Now, tell me what that is.
It's Rion Bell again. This is the third piece he'll be working on. And Roy Iro, they were both students at Toi Whakaari. And they came up with this idea of this hip-hop film noir.
Was the thing
basically
that got me,
because
I saw the words hip-hop musical and I thought, well, it'll be out in the streets and there'll be a dance competition. Yeah. I wasn't expecting the next line.
And it's just when I saw the first showing of it, went, oh, okay. And then they started to spit. And that's rapping, basically.
Right.
And I went, wow, these guys. And it was storytelling.
It's a film noir couple of detectives.
Yeah, exactly. Just making their way around Wellington and everything like that.
Oh, fantastic.
And they've got some great surprises. So they've done it two or three times, once at Bats, and then out at Purirua as well. But this time, what they're doing is, it used to be all pre-recorded music, but they're playing a lot of the music live themselves now. And that's another reason why we have the platform to go, come in, take some risks, you feel really comfortable, you're well held here, you know, evolve this thing. And they are just loving it, and it should be a rockin' time.
This feels like getting into the ground floor of Hamilton. It's like
you got it.
This is it really starting. You're watching something interesting just absolutely becoming big. Look, right at the start of this thing, guys, we said that it was an artist-led festival. It's all about that. more than about one trying to get big audiences, or audiences part of the mix?
Oh, it's part of the mix. Again, I love Wellington audiences. I had a show that cruised around the world, and the only place we didn't get standing ovations was Wellington. and I loved it. I went, woo, tough, you fellas are tough.
That's true.
But at the same time, Wellingtonians want to know. They're not afraid. They'll try things out. They'll look at things. They'll go, this is great. What's that over there? You know? Mm-hmm. And those are some of... So the people have been coming. The numbers have been coming as well. Look, one of the things we didn't mention is we've got this amazing media partner, Go Media, which is a Māori-owned. And one of the things that we approached them with is we went, hey, you know, you've got all these electronic billboards around the city. What about you show some of our artists? So people stuck in traffic, getting home or coming to work,
sure.
Then around town, you're going to see all these artists, visual artists from Kelmo on these billboards around the city. And they just went, this is a great idea. So it is about the build, you know, it's super connecting. What we're finding is a lot of people want to be our friend now. When we first started, they went, I don't know about this. Yeah, you know. And those who have been our friend from day one are still there with us too, you know. So... It's about super connecting, you know. And another thing for me as well is, you know, we've got a big group of internationals coming, but a lot of them are going, we feel safe here. It's so sovereign what you've created in regards to it's Indigenous, built from the ground up. You know, on our staff we have myself and Ahi Karuna Haran, so you've got two arts laureates in the staff.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, hey, you know, and so that sort of thing that want to come and share the love, you know, and Wellingtonians get it, they like it, we've found, and it's been growing and growing exponentially each time. So there's something for everyone. You know, we've got, as I said, we've got the music coming through too. So Eastern Sound Collective, who won a Tate Prize, you know. We've got Ma and the Fly Honeys, who have just been touring nationally with Avondale Bowling Club. Mm. Then we've got this young Six Hands, a young Pacifica DJ collective, who are just going to bring new noise. And so you've got all of these elements that... Lots of the communities talk together, and the way I look at it is all you do is you join up the tribes.
I think that works.
It works brilliantly.
Yeah. I mean, most big end festivals, like the International Festival in Wellington or Edinburgh or any of these other things, you're seeing stuff that's been polished, and it's the end thing.
Yeah.
Here it's work in progress in some cases,
but it's a
wave of enthusiasm, which I think is fantastic.
And we're leading the way, you know? You know, like, you're going to get a lot of artists here, and you do, who get picked up. And the thing is, a lot of festivals come shopping because, you know, and again, I love it. Our young ones pick up the program or look at it and go, Matua, I don't have to search for us. We're everywhere. It's us. It's here. And, you know, there's never been an issue in regards to the quality of the type of work that Māori Pacific Island, you know, Indigenous artists make. Mm. We just haven't had the opportunities. Mm. And that's one of the things why I think, you know, with it, our guests coming through, we've got people from, we've got the Australians coming, the First Nation Canadians, the Hawaiians are coming as well, Taiwanese, and they're going, this is the place they want to be. This is leading the edge. We're never going to be bigger than everyone else, but we're going to be ahead of everyone else. We're future thinking all the time, and that's the way I look at it. You know, that's why we have our young ones, because our young ones are they're our future. And I, you know, for me as an established artist, I go, "What are you thinking?" And go, "What is that? That's okay. Let's go towards it." You know, and it's that element of trust. And I had that as a young artist as well. Mm. Great people behind me going, "I'm not sure what you're thinking, but I trust you." You know, and having known that myself as an artist, then it's very easy to hand it off to all the young ones. And they're all around, they're going, oh, look, I'm not doing anything. How can I help? How can I be around it? Auckland has come down in droves. It's just a beautiful, warm, creative space to be. That's kind of what makes me the happiest. I woke up this morning and went, we on, people. This is great, you know. There are all these people coming to the city to enjoy the city, you know, and Wellingtonians get behind it too, going, we want you to come back again.